Hello.
Gavayan. Bison.
Does anyone know what a bison is? Okay. No. It's in America they have bison, these big creatures. Ruru. Black deer. Shalyakan. Porcupines. Does anyone know what a porcupine is? There's a thing with needles in it, and if you touch it, you get all these needles in your body, and that's how it protects itself. Medyan. Game animals. Anyan. Others. Cha. And. Vividan. Various. Vinignan. By killing. Shamam adyugat. Became very tired. It's a translation. In this way, King Puranjana killed many animals, including rabbits, boars, buffalo, bison, black deer, porcupines, and other game animals. After killing and killing, the king became very tired. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A person in the mode of ignorance commits many sinful activities in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that a man becomes sinful out of ignorance only. The resultant effect of sinful life is suffering. Those who are not in knowledge who commit violations of the standard laws are subject to be punished under criminal laws. Similarly, the laws of nature are very stringent. That means very strict. If a child touches fire without knowing the effect, he must be burned, even though he is only a child. If a child violates the law of nature, there is no compassion. Only through ignorance does a person violate the laws of nature, and when he comes to knowledge, he does not commit any more sinful acts. The king became tired after killing so many animals. When a man comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes aware of the stringent laws of nature and thus becomes a religious person. Irreligious persons are like animals, but in this Krishna consciousness movement, such persons can come to a sense of understanding things as they are and abandon the four principles of prohibited activities, namely illicit sex life, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. This is the beginning of religious life. Those who are so-called religious and indulge in these four principles of prohibited activities are pseudo-religionists. That means false religionists. Religious life and sinful activity cannot parallel one another. If one is serious in accepting a religious life or the path of salvation, he must adhere to the four basic rules and regulations. However sinful a man may be, if he receives knowledge from the proper spiritual master and repents his past activities in his sinful life and stops them, he immediately becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is made possible just by following the rules and regulations given in the Shastras and following the bona fide spiritual master. At present, the whole world is on the verge of retiring from a blind materialistic civilization which may be likened to hunting animals in the forest. People should take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement and leave their troublesome life of killing. It is said that the killers of animals should neither live nor die. If they live only to kill animals and enjoy women, life is not very prosperous. As soon as a killer dies, he enters the cycle of birth and death in the lower species of life. That also is not desirable. The conclusion is that killers should retire from the killing business and take to this Krishna consciousness movement to make life perfect. A confused, frustrated man cannot get relief by committing suicide because suicide will simply lead him to take birth in the lower species of life or to remain a ghost, unable to attain a gross material body. Therefore, the perfect course is to retire altogether from sinful activities and take up Krishna consciousness. In this way, one can become completely perfect and go back home, back to Godhead. So, asa shanvaraham magi shangavayan rudutshalavikan mejananyam sya vividan vinigdan shama bhajagat. So, omagana timiranda shah gananjana shalakaya chakshur and meditam genetas mai shigurve namaha. So there's many important topics here in this particular verse and purport. We're going to touch upon a few of them. The first one, Srila Prabhupada explains that sinful activities are actually due to ignorance. And of course, this is mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He talks about different types of ignorance, and Vishwanath Chakravarti also does this. Ignorance of the self, ignorance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ignorance of our relationship with the Lord, ignorance of the material energy, ignorance of the law of karma, ignorance of the time factor. This is all different types of ignorance. So let's analyze the word ignorance. It's an interesting word. Ignorance, that means one is ignoring something, ignoring reality. So, from that ignorance, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, then you get this thing called a kuta. Kuta means an inclination towards sinful activities, or activities that are not in accordance with the Vedic injunctions, which are sinful activities. And then from this kuta, or inclination, you get something called the bija. Those of you who studied Nectar of Devotion will know what I'm talking about. If you've had Bhakti Shastri, if you haven't forgotten everything you learned. So then, that's what people take a test, and then they regurgitate all the information, and the next day they don't remember a damn thing that they learned. So bija means a seed of, like papa bija. Papa bija means a seed of sinful desire. So these seeds are there in our heart. All these seeds are waiting to just be watered. And as soon as they're watered, boom, they come out. That's why simply avoiding sinful activities or performing austerities doesn't free you from desire, because the seeds are still there. And as we've seen, as Prabhupada gave the example, when you have a seed that's even thousands of years old, the seed will actually sprout when you add water to it. For example, the seeds that were in the Egyptian pyramids, they were chickpeas there. You know, chickpeas, garbanzo beans. Anyway, I don't know what you call it here. But anyway, there were chickpeas there. And they're thousands of years old. And as soon as there was water added, boom, they came out. So we have all these little sinful desire seeds in our heart. We're going to describe how to get rid of them in a second. And then from these sinful desire seeds, then we do it. We do some pop, or sin. And then after pop, then we get the aparabdha karma. That means not quite there, not quite mature. Then parabdha karma, which is mature. So basically, the bodies that we're all walking around with are our parabdha karma. Which is interesting. That's sign of your sin. Just like when many years ago, when I went to school, there was this story we studied, not Hare Krishna school. It was Asurakula instead of Gurukula. There was this it was a nice story. The story was called The Scarlet Letter. Anyone read that story? No. Yes. Some of you might have read that letter. Okay. There was a lady who didn't do things too nicely, and she had to wear this big A on her sweatshirt or whatever she wore. And that meant adulteress. So you had to walk around like that all the time, And so everyone was looking, that's an adulteress. Or even when I was studying chemistry, not that I had to walk around with an A, but anyway, so when I was studying chemistry in the laboratory, in the university, the punishment for breaking a thermometer was you had to wear the broken thermometer around your neck. Because they didn't want you breaking thermometers. So when you wore the broken thermometer, everyone would say, oh, he's a rascal. He broke a thermometer. You know what a thermometer is? Yeah, it measures temperature. So somehow or other we're walking around with this body, and that's a sign of our sin. I remember when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, the sannyasis were not as kind as they are nowadays, because we were all about 20 years old, so I wasn't a sannyasi when I joined. Seldom do sannyasis join a Hare Krishna movement. You have to become a sannyasi later on. So the sannyasis were kind of tough, so one sannyasi, who should remain nameless, was chastising me for some reason, for something I didn't do. Did you ever get chastised for something you didn't do? It's really bad. So he was chastising me for something I didn't do, and I said, I didn't do it. And he said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you did it or not. You have a material body, so you deserve to be chastised. Because we don't do that nowadays. Nowadays, sannyasis are kinder and gentler. So anyway, so this is Parabdha karma. We're walking around, you know, you can look in a mirror and you can understand your karma. And also your desires. You take a particular type of body due to two things. Karma and desire. It's just like when you buy a car, you buy a particular car according to your money and your desire, right? Like if I have very little money and I have a desire for a car, I get a Yugo. You know what a Yugo is? He doesn't know what a Yugo is. A Yugo is the cars they used to manufacture, or maybe they still manufacture. And it's like a tin can with wheels on it. If you sneeze in it, the car gets damaged. That's a Yugo. Excuse me if I'm offending anybody. And if you have a lot of money and a desire for a car, then you get a Mercedes. Or even more money, you get Rolls Royce. Or even more money, you get a Maserati. Or even more money, you get a Lamborghini. So, anyways, so it's better to have more money and want a car. No, it's... So anyway, so that's basically a metaphor for karma, why you get a new body. So let's say you have a lot of good karma and you want to enjoy opulent life, then you get born in the heavenly planets. And then when that good karma runs out, guess what? Shine punye marcha lokam vishanti. You come back here to Slovenia. That's what it says in the Bhagavad Gita. Chine punye marcha lokam vishanti. Your good karma runs out. As they say, boss, forget it. So, and then you take birth. So, sometimes you can get someone to give you some of their good karma. So you can keep living in Pitri Loka. This is actually the Indian system. That when your parent dies, then you perform this thing called pinda. Pinda means like a ceremony to keep paying your parents' bill in the heavenly planets. Like if someone goes on vacation, then you can pay their credit card bill so they can continue going on vacation. So that's, anyway, that's pinda. So somehow or other we've taken this body. This body is an indication of our desire and past karma, and we should see it like that. It's not an indication of our love for Krishna, unless you happen to be a Nityasiddha devotee, an avatar. We don't have any avatars here, I don't think. The word avatar, as we've described in a previous class, means someone who descends from the spiritual realm. Tara, avatara, to cross down from the spiritual realm. And if you're a devotee, he takes a body in this world out of love for Krishna. I mean, it's like we look at Srila Prabhupada and we worship his transcendental form. Because he's appeared, his body is a manifestation of his love of Krishna. Whereas our bodies in this world is a manifestation of our lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and all those wonderful things that we're attached to. So therefore, we have to be very careful about our bodily inclinations. You know, because naturally, Prabhupada said, people are naturally inclined towards, you know, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, all these things. And you have to be very careful, like, whenever you open your eyes or open your nose, you know, you can smell some food or touch on it, you have to be very careful because your natural inclination is, maybe not all of you, but some of you are devotees from past lives, but your natural inclination is to do sinful things. You understand? It's actually quite dangerous to be here in the material world when you have a material body. So, anyway, that's the first point. The second point is talking about, let's go back to the last paragraph here. Prabhupada said something very interesting. At present, the whole world is on the verge of retiring from blind materialistic civilization. So Prabhupada wrote this many years ago. Probably wrote this around 1975 or 74. Yeah, fourth canto 74. So if the whole world was on the verge of retiring from blind materialistic civilization, why are they still into materialism? So that's the question. Well, the point is that when one engages in sense gratification, yes, you get a little exhausted after some time and want to go to sleep. But then you get up the next day and you get renewed energy to engage in sense gratification. So Prabhupada was commenting on the situation in America. See, the situation in America was there were these people called hippies. And Prabhupada was asked, what is a hippie? And Prabhupada said, oh, something wonderful. But anyway, so, but there, these people called hippies, and unfortunately I was one of them, and they were rejecting materialistic civilization. This is what Prabhupada was referring to. Because, our parents, my parents, they said the purpose of life is to make money. My mother said, become a doctor, and do all these nice things and enjoy like us. And we were saying, you're not enjoying, you have everything. We've had everything, just like before I joined the movement. My family, we had cars and boats and airplanes. I even had my own little sports car. It was an MG Midget. I don't know if anyone's heard it. It was a British sports car. And we've been enjoying life like this. And then convertible. You know, we drive it around and wave at everybody. Wave at all the girls, you know. but we experienced all these things and it didn't give us happiness and we were rejecting our parents' conception of happiness. And so that's what the hippie revolution was. You know, we don't want any more of this. You know, we don't want to become part of your whole scene. You know, just to work for the sake of making money, for reproducing, and then die. What's the use of this? So basically, you know, I asked my mother, I said, what's the use of it? And she said, to make me happy. And I said, well, that's useless. Because, you know, parents sometimes they say, you know, your job is that my son or daughter is to make me happy. And I said, that's not my job. My job is to become happy. And I'm not, and you're not happy with this material. So anyway, so this is what Prabhupada is referring to, that people were on the verge of retiring from materialistic civilization. However, because some of those people who are hippies did not get the association of His Divine Grace to the Prabhupada and Prabhupada's movement, they became materialists after that. In other words, they were giving up material civilization, and then after that they became Wall Street, you know what Wall Street, anyway, the stock market, entrepreneurs, businessmen, or rock and roll stars making a lot of money, trying to enjoy their senses in different ways. I mean, if you look at that whole generation that I came from, the majority have actually just become gross sense gratifiers. Although they were on the verge, and they were tired of materialistic civilization, but the papa bija, you know, the sinful disease in the heart is still there, so it just fructified after some time. Whereas with Krishna consciousness, point that Srila Rupa Goswami makes and Srila Prabhupada makes is that, the chanting fries the sinful papa bija, the sinful desire seed, so the seed can't fructify. It's like frying a seed. So, anyway, so therefore we were fortunate enough to have Prabhupada's association, so we didn't enter back into the materialistic civilization. Although it's very interesting, when devotees neglect their spiritual practices, there's this principle called punarmushika bhava. You know, again become what you were before. course, I'm not going to tell that story because you're all familiar with that story. But that Purna Mrishkabha means, again, become a mouse. So whatever you were before, when you neglect your chanting and spiritual practices, it comes up again. You revert to your previous situation in the modes of nature. Of course, you don't lose your spiritual advancement. I understand that. Swapam apyasya dharmasya. Trayate mahato vayat. There's, you're freed from, that's the idea of taking an animal birth or whatever. But there's modes of nature, karinam guna sangasya, sadasa janma jonishu, again come and take over your consciousness when you're not attentive in Krishna consciousness. When you neglect your rounds, you neglect your sadhana, you neglect association with devotees, you neglect hearing the Bhagavatam, you neglect worshipping Tulsi Devi, all these things, the previous situation comes up. So we have to be very, very careful. So anyway, by the association of a pure devotee, then Prabhupada said hippies can turn to happies. You know, that Prabhupada said that was the miracle, that hippies can turn to happies. And we have examples of this in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and in Srimad Bhagavatam, and some of the examples you may be familiar with. One is an example with Lord Nityananda, how people of the lowest caliber, there's many stories, I'm not going to tell the Jagai Mate story, people of the lowest caliber can actually become great devotees of the Lord. So the one story I wanted to tell, in addition to other stories, was the story of Lord Nityananda and dacoits. Dacoits means, in Hindi, it means robbers, thieves, murderers, low-class people. Okay, so once upon a time, Lord Nityananda is called the Avadut, because Avadut means wind, or like the wind, because you really can't figure out what ashram he's in. You know, he was dressed as a renunciate for some time. He never formally took sannyas. Jai Shishi Panchatattva. He never formally took sannyas, but he was dressed as a renunciate, but he would have jewelry on. He'd wear a lot of jewelry, earrings, and bracelets, and gold and diamonds and silver. It'd be like if I came to give Bhagavatam class and I had a lot of jewelry on. Jewelry, and I used perfume all over my body, and used oil in my hair, and all that nice stuff, and I was wearing like a, well, silk dhoti with all sorts of designs, like Didi clothes. Can you imagine, sannyasi comes, you know, saffron, but like, different embroidery here, like, I remember when I first took sannyas, all the sannyasis wanted to get embroidered, dhotis. So you go to the dhoti shop, Gangotri, in Vrindavan, and you say, can I have this embroidered dhoti? So he had embroidery. You know what embroidery is? That means with the stitching, with all fancy stitching. Like, so we would have like, it's hard to explain, but we'd have like little things over here, like little openings. It was all embroidered in the shoulders and everything like that. So the sannyasis used to be like that. Embroidered dandas. Not really. Wasn't that bad. So, but it was, keeping up with the sannyasis. And there, and everyone wanted to, have the latest watch. Oh, do you have a Rolex? Yes, I have a Rolex. So sannyasis, they would have watched, darshans whenever they would meet each other. In the early days. What, I have a watch? You, oh, I just have a Casio. Cheap sannyasi. So Lord Nityananda, he would have all this jewelry. I mean, 10 times more jewelry than you see here on the altar. And gold, real gold. So naturally, he became a target for thieves. So there was this group of thieves. And they saw Lord Nityananda and they thought, wow, we should steal from him. So Lord Nityananda was having his kirtans at, who was Nandananda's house? Anyway. So he has his kirtans all the time. They were chanting and dancing practically half the night. And the dacoits made a plan to steal. There was the head dacoit, because the dacoits also have some organization, the president, vice president, treasurer. It's like we have in ISKCON, they have strategic planning. You know what strategic planning is? They all got together, you know, how much money are we going to make? What are we going to do with it? Like Prabhupada said jokingly, he said, thieves will steal money and they will say, let's divide it up honestly. It's kind of stupid. So anyway, the dacoits, so they planned this whole thing. And so what happened is they went outside the house where Lord Nityananda was waiting for the evening. And then somehow or other, they all fell asleep. And they thought, we didn't worship the goddess Chandi properly. Chandi is named for Durga. So let us do some more puja, Durga puja. Om Durgaya Namaha, Om Durgaya, Durgaya, Durgaya. So they worshipped her, and then next night they came, they thought, now we're going to steal all the jewelry. And so what happened is that they saw all these big Vaikuntha guards, who were like 3 meters tall. That's pretty tall. And they were guarding the place and chanting, Hare Krishna, like that. And so they thought, well, now's not the right time, let's wait a few days. And then they waited a few days, came back, and the next time they came back, there was a storm and pus was falling from the sky and all sorts of disgusting things. And they became blinded, fell in ditches, were bitten by worms, and eventually they realized that they had made a mistake. So what happened is that they went to Lord Nityananda, prayed for forgiveness, and became a pure devotee of the Lord. Pretty good, isn't it? So there's an indication that even when you approach Krishna for some like reason that's not exactly pure, because that's the opposite of pure, trying to steal from Krishna, then akama sava kama moksha kama dharati tibrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is free of material desires, full of material desires, or desires of liberation. If one does it enthusiastically. In other words, if you're going to steal, you should be enthusiastic about it. If you're going to hate Krishna, hate him a lot. Like Putana. I mean, Putana is a very interesting story too. Because Putana had mixed desires. She was the sister of Bali Maharaj, and when she saw Lord Vamana, she wanted to be his mother. But then when she saw Lord Vamana steal from Bali Maharaj, or cheat him, she said, I'll kill him. So when she took birth next, she took birth as Putana. And as a result of taking birth as Putana, she got killed by Krishna, but Krishna accepted the good desire and threw away the bad desire. And he took her back to the spiritual world. Similarly, Sarpanaka, the lady with the long nails, Sarpanaka approached Lord Ramchandra and actually out of lust. And as a result of that, you know, she basically had some amputations on her body that were done by Lakshman. You know, he amputated her ears and nose and everything like that. But because she was thinking of Krishna, thinking of Lord Ram, then in her next birth, she took birth as a Kupcha and got a chance to become purified. But still she was lusty, but still it was purified by her association with Krishna. So you see, by association with Krishna or Krishna's pure devotees, then sadhu-sangha, sadhu-sangha, sarva-shastra-koi, lava-matra, sadhu-sangha, sarva-siddhi-hoi. Then one can achieve all perfections. The whole point is association. But the association has to be done with a pure devotee. It can't be done with someone who is a rascal chanting Krishna's names for some mayavadi purpose. We talked about this yesterday. There was a question raised. You know, this is one of the questions, Ananta? Basically, should we hear the chanting of mayavadis for impersonalists or people who don't like Krishna? And the answer was no, because that's not namavas, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's actually distorted. It's sometimes called distorted namavas, if you read the Harinam Chintamani. And by hearing that, your devotional service can be spoiled, rather than your devotional service enhanced. So we have to be careful who we associate with. But if you associate with a pure devotee, such as Srila Prabhupada, or those who are following Srila Prabhupada strictly, Prabhupada also defined that as a different type of pure devotee. It's not that we should go and say, I'm a pure devotee because I'm following strictly. But Prabhupada's potency can act through us. We can be empowered to actually bring people to the higher platforms of devotional service. So it's not that we only hear from Prabhupada, we hear from those who are following Prabhupada. I remember there was one devotee a number of years ago after Prabhupada left the planet saying that nobody in the movement is qualified to give Bhagavatam class because no one's pure. So we should only hear from Prabhupada. So every morning it was just a tape of Prabhupada being played. And he thought that's the only way we can hear a pure devotee. But a pure devotee can empower others in different ways. So if we hear or associate with devotees who are following strictly or absolutely pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, then the sinful desire seed in our heart becomes supplanted with the bhakti lata bij. And then we can give up all these, like Prabhupada said here, the troublesome life of sinful activities. We lose our desire to kill animals, enjoy the opposite sex, and then we can really enjoy. So this is Krishna consciousness. And then we can go out and give this association to others. We're empowered. We've been given the ability to go out and help others and bring others out of this miserable situation. Not simply by preaching against animal killing, but by giving people the holy names and giving people Krishna consciousness. Because simply preach against animal killing, yes, you may become a vegan for some time, but the desire is still there. But if we engage people in Krishna consciousness, the desire becomes fried, as we mentioned before. Anyway, so here's King Paranjana, becoming kind of tired from all of his sinful activities, and tired is not enough. Tired means you just go to sleep, isn't it? like Prabhupada said, he was talking about different types of intelligence. You know, lazy intelligence, active intelligence, lazy stupid, active stupid. Four types of people. So, if you're going to be stupid, it's better to be lazy stupid. Because then you won't be committing so many sinful activities. Isn't it? But if you're going to be intelligent, it's actually also better to be lazy intelligent. Because you can engage others. So it's better to be lazy. No. You know, lazy intelligence actually is very interesting. Prabhupada described that as the ability to utilize others, to engage others in Krishna's service. You understand? So active intelligence is good. You know, you're intelligent, you're fixed in Krishna consciousness, you're active, you're doing things. But if you can manage a Sankirtan party, not being lazy, of course, and send others out in Sankirtan, that's you accomplish a lot more. I was also with Prabhupada one time, and Prabhupada said, intelligent person uses others' money, not his own money. Prabhupada told me that. Because I was in charge of the Spanish BBT, and we were producing Srila Prabhupada's books for Latin America. And in order to get the money to print the books, we borrowed it from the English BBT. And Prabhupada said, this is very intelligent. You use others' money to do business. So that's similar to being lazy intelligent. Engage people in Krishna's service. Not that you just have to run around like a, you know, crazy, but you engage others and you increase devotional service in this way. So anyway, these are some of the points. So any questions or comments about any of these points? Made several points in class. Okay. Questions? Yes. Kuta means inclination. Like there's a sinful inclination. It's not that you have a specific seed in your heart yet to do anything specifically. I mean, there's the karma bees, the jnana bees. I mean, there's so many different types of seeds. You may have a sinful desire seed to drink liquor for some reason. So that comes from the inclination to sin. Inclination is a general thing. Now, what does the inclination come from? It comes from ignorance, which is described as Krishna Bhatiya Mukha, turning the face away from Krishna, ignoring Krishna, basically. And then you ask the question, some people ask the question, where did we come from? You know, did we come from the spiritual world? I mean, this is a typical controversial question. Did we come from the spiritual world? Did we come from the Tathagata Shakti? Did we come from the Brahma Jyoti? Or did we just come from Europe? I mean, so, you know, the question of where did the soul come from? Well, the point is, we ignored Krishna. We were originally Krishna-conscious living entities. What we were doing is not specifically defined. But we decided Krishna Bhatiya Mukha. We made the deliberate decision to turn our face away from Krishna, ignoring Krishna. That's ignorance. Krishna Bhatiya Mukha. And as a result of that, then we developed the inclination to imitate Krishna. See, that's really the material world. It's imitation of Krishna. We're all imitation Krishnas. Ishwaraham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi, as Krishna says in the Gita. That's the demon's Gayatri mantra. You get initiated in that when you come to the material world. There's no, you don't have to study or take the bhakti course or anything like that. That's a free initiation. Ishwaraham aham bhogi siddham balavan. We chant that many times every day. Ishwara, I am the controller. Aham. Aham bogi. I am the bogi. We used to say that to brahmacharis in the temple. You're just the bogi. When they ate too much. So, aham bogi. Siddham, I'm perfect. Balavan, I'm very powerful. And Sukhi, I'm happy. And if you don't agree with me, I'm going to get angry. So, this is the consciousness of us in the material world. So that's really the inclination. You know, the kuta is Ishwaraham aham bhogi siddham balavan sukhi. Krishna defines this kuta, this inclination like that. So in other words, and based on that, you develop all these bijas, these seeds of desire, and then you go for it. And so, what does that mean? Imitation of Krishna. Like the material world described in the 15th chapter of the Gita is a reflection of the spiritual realm. So, you know, Krishna has his friends and his girlfriends, so why not me? Krishna gets intoxicated, like we were mentioning the other day, Krishna gets intoxicated in the spiritual world. Did you know that? He drinks honey wine. No vodka or stuff like that. You know what vodka is?
Yes.
Like the Russians, they love vodka. They live on vodka. And the Germans, they live on beer. They even have a beer fest. Oktoberfest, right? And so, that's all perverted reflection. Krishna has a honey wine fest in the spiritual world. And they're getting so intoxicated, as we mentioned yesterday, they're taking the wine glasses and pouring the wine on the wrong side. So it just goes all over the place. So there's intoxication in it. Did you know this? It's nice, isn't it? So you can go back to the spiritual world and break all the principles. Gambling? You know, Krishna does gambling too. I mean, Krishna actually gambles. There's this place in Radhakund that's, you know, the chess game where Krishna gambles with Radharani. Of course, they're not gambling mundane things, you know, gambling kisses and whatever else they're gambling. And Krishna cheats. He makes believe he's a tax collector, and he cheats the gopis, and they get back at him with by beating him and the coward boys up. I mean, it's all interesting stuff, isn't it? You hear all these wonderful pastimes. So you see all these things going on in the spiritual world, and you're thinking, why not me? You know, why can't I be the center of the rasa dance? Let me have a lot of gopis. Doesn't work. You try it. You try one gopi, two gopis, three gopis. Unfortunately, the gopis get old in the material world. And you get old. And you get sick. And then you try to imitate Krishna's flute playing. Well, let me play the guitar. imitating. I mean, you're imitating Krishna, and you're trying to be Purusha. Actually, both the men and the women try to be Purusha in the material world, right? They try to be the enjoyer. And they try to be the male position. Male position means the controller. So the men control differently than the women. Men control like, you know, their strength or something, you better listen to me or else I'll kill you. And the women control with their tears. The tears are more effective, actually, at controlling. You know, they cry, you go, oh my God, what's happening? So, anyway, so we're imitating Krishna being the controller, the enjoyer, the proprietor. And the only way we're going to actually go back to Godhead is Bhaktaram Jagatapa Sabam Sarvalokamahesharam Suradam Sarvabhutaram Gatva Mam Shanti Mrichati. Understanding that Krishna's the controller, Krishna's the proprietor, Krishna's the well-wisher, etc. Or Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Vyatma Nicha Vinigritta Kama Dwandvara Vimuktar Sukaduka Sangyar Kachancha Muda Padamaviyam Tat. Understanding, being free of this false prestige that I'm important, Nirmana Moha, an illusion, Jitta Sangha, giving up bad association, which is a point I made before in class, becoming absorbed in the eternal, that means Krishna's pastimes, and then we can overcome this illusion, thinking that we're the enjoyers and the proprietors of this world. Okay, so that's Kuta, Bija. And then Parabdha karma, Aparabdha is not karma that's not yet mature. Parabdha is what we already have. And then it's a vicious cycle. Because from the Parabdha karma, you get the Bija again and the Guta again, and it just goes on and on and on. It's called a vicious cycle. It's called a feed, in technical terms, it's called a feedback loop. Isn't it? You know about these things, Ananda. You're a PhD in these things.
English word?
Feedback. Feedback. You know, in other words, the product or whatever occurs from the procedure feeds back into the whole procedure and just increases. So, any other questions? Yes.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for lecturing. In 2 days we are starting the Holy Name Weekend.
That's nice.
So could you please maybe suggest us how to properly engage our consciousness mood to this event?
That was the same question we got last night. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll give the same answer. Yeah, no, I can answer that. How to properly engage? The Holy Name, as I mentioned last night, is crying out for Krishna. Crying out for Radharani to engage us in Krishna's service. Crying out for Krishna to give us his mercy. Crying out for Radha Ramana Hari, that's Rama, in case you haven't guessed that. It's also Balaram, and also Lord Ramchandra. Crying out to help us. Crying out to help us come to the, first of all, become detached from this material world, Dhanam Janam Sundari, etc. Crying out to help us become humble. That's a hard one. Especially when you're a sannyasi. It's hard to be humble because you sit on a big seat and everyone appreciates you and they write nice books about you. I'm writing my biography now. Autobiography of a bogey. So, you didn't hear what I just said? No. I'm going too fast. So, crying out for humility. Trinadapi Sunichina. Crying out for Baba. Isn't it? I mean, look at the Shikshashtaka. I'm actually referring to the Shikshashtaka prayers right now, if you recognize what I'm saying. Crying out for Baba. You know, when will I experience Baba? Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Kabhi Habi Bolo Si Dinamar Aparada Guche. When will these offenses cease? When Ruchi, when will I have a taste for the Holy Name? So crying out for that. Begging Krishna. Actually, literally crying, like my godbrother Guru Govinda Maharaj described his temple in Bhubaneswar, as he said, we're opening up a crying ashram, isn't it? So we should cry. I mean, not that you literally have to, tears coming out, but it should be that mood. We're crying, begging Krishna for... First of all, getting a taste for the Holy Name, Nanuraga, we don't have a taste right now. then becoming detached from the material world, not wanting any of the accoutrements of this world, dunam janam sundarid, crying out for bhava, right? Crying out for Krishna, feeling the mood of separation, crying out for Krishna to save us, ayananda to nujakinkarum, and then finally crying out for pure devotional service, that Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, but you're completely free to do anything and everything. So that should be our mood, crying for Krishna. Not an enjoy mood, oh, I'm trying to enjoy the holy name. I mean, it is enjoyable, but we should be crying out for all these things. Krishna, please free me from all these material attractions. Krishna, please give me a taste. Krishna, please manifest the symptoms of ecstasy as I chant. Right now we chant, and we are not fainting in ecstasy when we chant, are we? No. We're not feeling the Vyabhachari Bhavas, the 33 emotions. We're feeling Bhava Rog. Bhava Rog means the diseased emotions. Like, when can I eat? Like, I'm giving class and thinking, when is prasadam? You know, I'm looking at the clock, you know. Prasadam. It's not even offering. So, so that's Bhava Rog. So anyway, so we pray for all these things. That should be the intense mood. You have to engage your mind. While you're chanting, you have to engage your mind and your heart, not just your lips and your tongue and your vocal cords, but you have to engage your very being, your very essence, your very soul in the chanting. And that's actually what we should do when we have these retreats or things like that. Anyway, so does that answer your question? You know, ask Krishna for something. Not something mundane, you know, Krishna, give me a nice car. But we can ask Krishna for, I mean, like if you have some project, like you're building a temple in Mayapur, Krishna, let me be successful in doing this project, let me be successful in preaching, let the conditioned souls hear your hope, like Prabhupada prayed, like that. I mean, there's all sorts of wonderful prayers we could make, not only for ourselves, but for others. Actually, it's very effective to pray for others. Pray for the health of others, pray for the spiritual welfare of others. And so chanting the holy names is a prayer. We oftentimes forget this process of vandanam. The vandanam is one of the Navabhakti principles, which is prayer. So we should be praying. When we go before the deities, it's not just, oh, you look so nice, Krishna. Actually, we had one pujari. When anyone else dressed Krishna, she got angry because she wasn't the one dressing Krishna. So she looked at the deity and said, ah! And she threw her bee bag away. Anyway, so no one in this room, don't worry. But it happened. I've seen it. So when we see the deities, yes, Krishna, you look so nice, you're beautiful, but please help me, save me. You know, it's prayer, vandana. You can make your own prayers up, as long as they're in line with Guru Shastra and Sadhu. So any other questions or comments?
Yes.
Yes.
Two questions.
Okay. Two questions.
You mentioned that according to our karma and desire, one can go to heavenly planets.
Yeah.
Go to heavenly planets. Does this also affect devotees? They want to become a devotee, and if he doesn't attain perfection to go back to Krishna, will he go to hell or first go to heaven and go to hell?
He can go to hell to preach. It's nice preaching in hell. You don't have to convince people that the material world is suffering, right? You just say, chant Hare Krishna, okay, okay. Narayana Paratsarve Nakatashina Bhivyati Swarga Bhavarga Narakeshu Apituli Artha Darshana. But seriously, Krishna, alright, that question is raised by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, of course. What is the destination of one, you know, who somehow or other doesn't quite make it? And Krishna gives the answer, if one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists. Such a birth is very rare. But if one is not as advanced, he goes to heaven. And then he comes down and takes birth in a rich family. And then he gets the opportunity to perform devotional service. So basically, you know, a devotee doesn't go to hell except to preach. I mean, I don't find any indication that a devotee goes to hell. Because by chanting the Lord's holy names, all the karma becomes eradicated, even the Namavach chanting, even the Parabdha karma becomes eradicated. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, just second question. According to Indian tradition, you mentioned when their son worship the ancestors,
yeah,
to give them the heavenly planets, we also worship the guru.
Yeah, so you should keep him in the heavenly planets.
And then, my question is sometimes...
I need a vacation.
We see the different levels of gurus that, assuming the guru did not go back to Krishna because of his many disciples who are not secure devotees yet.
Don't remind me.
So you must...
You're making me depressed.
So my question is, does the worship of the guru resemble the Indian culture where they worship the ancestors?
Yes. You mean, do you pinda for the guru?
Yeah, is this similar to the Indian tradition of
worship? No, I mean, the best thing you can do for the guru is you become Krishna conscious, so he can go back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, you know, until the disciples go back to Godhead, the guru has to stay here, but it's not as bad as it sounds. I hope. So, it's not as bad as it sounds, because the guru can simultaneously be in this world and also absorb in Krishna's pastimes. Like you find with Srinivasacharya, he was absorbed internally in Krishna's pastimes so much that when he did his meditation, he would bring things like a garland out of his meditation from the spiritual world. I mean, that's pretty good. So, to be a pure devotee in this world is called Jivan Mukta, so that's nice. And the guru is filled with compassion. I mean, just like Narada Muni, he loves to preach. I mean, he's eternally traveling from the spiritual world to the material world. And even in the story of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Gopa Kumar, who's in the spiritual world, and Radharani says, you better go to the material world to preach this to the Mathura Brahmana. So, it's not bad to be in the material world if you're a pure devotee and carrying out Krishna's service. It's kind of nice. Not that we want to stay here. But it's nice. I mean, the act of compassion and giving others Krishna is on the same level as the intimate exchanges between the gopis and Krishna. Prabhupada said that. There was one devotee, Ramaswara, asked Prabhupada the question. You know, he was comparing Sankirtan, distributing books in the mood of the devotees preaching, to the gopis' relationship with Krishna, you know, feeling separation. And Prabhupada agreed with that. So you can experience the highest nectar even in this world. You can realize your spiritual body even before you leave this body. So it's not a curse to remain in the material world if you're a pure devotee. Narayana Paraksarve, that was the verse I just quoted. Nakatashna Viviti Swargapavarga Narakeshu Apituyartha Darshana. And that means the topmost devotee of Krishna or Narayana, he can go to heaven, he can go to hell, he can go back to Godhead, but he does the same thing. Or as Prabhupada gave the example of a wheat threshing machine, a machine that makes wheat from the wheat plants. And Prabhupada said, wherever you send it, it'll do the same thing. So like we're preaching here in the material world, if someone is a pure devotee, they're preaching here in the material world, they're preaching, they're serving Krishna in the spiritual world, they're in ecstasy, whatever they're doing. The Jivan Mukta. That means a liberated soul. Kevalananda Kanda, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai. So in other words, it's only bliss. So to remain in the material world, saving your stupid disciples who just didn't make it, is it's bliss. So the disciples will say, well, therefore I should become stupid so to give my spiritual master more bliss by remaining here longer. But that's not a good idea. And also the spiritual master can send people to, you know, carry out his service. Like in the case of Bilba Mangal Thakur, Bilba Mangal Thakur's guru sent this prostitute to preach to Bilba Mangal Thakur, you know, Chintamani. prostitute demon had a spiritual name. And she said, you know, Bill Mungo, if you were as attached to Krishna as you are to not this material body, you'd be a pure devotee by now. And he took that very, very seriously. So the spiritual master could speak through other people. He's perfectly capable of doing that. So it's not such a bad thing.
There was a thought that came to my mind. If the spiritual master remained in the material world to save the disciples, and the disciples becomes a pure devotee and initiate the former spiritual master, who is the guru and who is the disciple?
He initiates the spiritual master? What do you mean?
The disciple remains, the guru remains in the material world and he left the body, taking birth again. And some of his disciples are not also gurus.
Yeah, so
they initiated him in this life. But like, former life, he was the guru.
Yeah, now he's a disciple.
So who is the guru and who is the disciple?
I thought of that once too. It's a very interesting scenario. I don't know if it actually happens. I thought, you know, what if I take birth again and I have to become a disciple of my disciple? So. And I was thinking, I should choose which one. You know, no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just want to go and serve Prabhupada, so that's my choice. So, but it's up to Krishna. I actually thought of that before. It's kind of funny to think about it, but I never heard of it happening. I've heard of a disciple initiating the spiritual master when the spiritual master was a Mayavadi, like Sripad Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya. It happened in both cases like that. But I haven't heard of the disciple taking birth to become a disciple of his disciple before. But it's something I also thought about. I got worried about. So, yeah, that's a lot of anxiety. Oh, my God. So, any other questions? Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to connect to the previous question. I know I heard and I read that behind the Adyata Kukriti, behind the pie of pity, the growing up, the works of Kirby, there is also some other pie activity, like the material opening, or even the one who
yeah.
emerging in the Supreme Brahman.
Yeah.
These two, how they affect the devotee in the fact?
Well, the devotee never merges in the Supreme Brahman.
How they affect?
Well, the devotee never does it, so it doesn't affect him. Devotee kaivalya narakayate. A devotee considers merging or entering into the Brahman to be hell. That's the only thing. A devotee will come to the material world, spiritual world, any of those things, but a devotee will not accept kaivalya, you know, merging into the Lord's effulgence. That doesn't happen with a devotee. Unless it's a pastime. I mean, I know you hear all these pastimes, but devotee doesn't want those things because it's hell. You have no activities. You can't even hate God in the spiritual world, in the Brahmajyoti. Isn't it? You can't even do that, Nectar. Can't even be Ravana. I mean, I'd prefer to be Ravana than to enter into the Brahmajyoti. So, what's the question?
What exactly is then, when you have the kind of, what you actually call Mukta Mukti, maybe?
But different types of Sayuja Mukti.
If someone has the kind of thing, or even the Bhoga Mukti, if someone has something like this, how this can affect the spiritual advancement?
If one's not a pure devotee, one can become enamored by going to the heavenly planets, one can become enamored by the opulences there, yeah. It can actually disturb one's bhakti. Because it's interesting, according to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, there's different causes of anarthas. There's sinful activities, pious activities, there's offenses against Vaishnavas, and also the byproducts of bhakti. Four different causes of anarthas. Anarthas means lust, anger, greed, illusion, things you don't want. So even pious activities performed can give us a pious result and can cause an anartha in our hearts. Anartha thinking that, you know, I'm the enjoyer. You may say, you know, how can pious activities cause you to get anarthas? Because you become attached to the mode of goodness and the sense of happiness. I mean, give an example. My mother does charitable activities, and I ask her, why do you do these charitable activities? She said, because it makes me feel good. So that's mode of goodness. It's entangling. It's an anarthic. It's self-centered. Whereas sinful activities, we already understand. But the byproducts of bhakti are interesting because as one performs devotional service, one gets appreciation from others. You know, like if you become a sannyasi or guru, you get appreciation from others. You know, people come and they cook whatever you want. Wouldn't that be nice? They iron your clothes. That's kind of nice. Anyway, I don't care about that. So they do also, you know, and people say nice things. Oh, Gurudev, your lotus feet are so sweet. You can't be beat, your lotus feet. You get big birthday parties, bigger than when you were a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I got birthday parties, but now I get bigger birthday parties, so it's even better. So after a while, you start to believe that you have lotus feet, and you develop, you learn the yoga posture of putting your feet on your head so you can take shelter at your own lotus feet. I have one disciple who's one of the most expert yogi in the world. His name is Gokul. Some of you may have met him. He's from Finland. And he taught me how to put my feet on my head. And this way I'm taking shelter at my feet. And so, not really. It's a joke. You know, we like to be a little humorous and sarcastic sometimes. Sometimes. So, one becomes puffed up. Just like we saw when Prabhupada left the planet, there were certain people who were given the position of gurus, and they were very young, unable to cope with, you understand, the appreciation or the glorification. And they began to think of themselves as great, great devotees. And because of that, many of them had spiritual difficulty. So it's a great danger. So that's a cause of an anartha. So with immature or neophyte devotees, it's very dangerous. Because they can develop anarthas like this. So that's why the statement is there, he who praises me is my enemy. He who criticizes me is my friend.
But the gurus and the genies, they get so much criticism.
Yeah, that's good for us. That's actually mercy. You should arrange more. Yeah, you go on. The internet is actually a blessing for us because there's so many negative things about us on the internet. So, anyway, so any other quick questions? Because it's time for prasadam. Yeah.
Yes. I read somewhere that the demon that represents lust was killed by Balaram, and that the only way
yes.
one can conquer lust is by the help of the gurus. Maybe just a few words about
that. Yeah, I mean, the system is. The system to get rid of material desires is one approaches the spiritual master, or Lord, who is a representative of Lord Nityananda. Then one becomes free of material desires. Then one is able to, at that particular point, approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to the ecstatic platform. And by approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and doing Sankirtan, you become qualified to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. This is actually a statement by Prabhupada and the Acharyas. Then you can actually approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and understand the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. So that's our hierarchy. That's the methodology. Okay, I think we have to end because it's time for prasadam, and also we're going to be leaving today. We want to thank everybody for the nice time we had here, all the nice prasadam, all the raw food and everything. So, raw food and sprouts and everything that we ate here. So it's been a nice visit. We'll probably be coming back in January when the weather's better. Because people are more inclined to hear and chant during those times, isn't it? Like I just took a trip to Finland where it's horrible weather most of the year, but as soon as it comes to summer, it's sunshine all day long, and the people just disappear. I came and nobody was there in the whole city of Helsinki. They'd all run out of the city. So my experience is in the winter, everybody's really inclined to hear spiritual things. In the summer, they're just like, oh, now's the time to enjoy. Because you have a very short summer here, isn't it? Fiji, it's always summer. You're all invited to visit. But enjoyment is chanting Hare Krishna in any case. Okay, all glorious to Zivai.